Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMoney.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. There's trouble in Winnipeg. Jonah is a compulsive gambler. He can't pass a card table without placing a bet. He's in debt to his neck to a bookie named Tubby. He's also a relentless liar. He doesn't tell his girlfriend that a wad of cash is due to cover his gambling debts. And when his doctor tells his estranged teenage daughter, Aurora, she's about to go blind, he keeps his cards close to his chest and doesn't pass on the news. Instead, he packs up his car and vows to show her the northern lights in Churchill. But will she see the Aurora Borealis before she goes blind and before the bookies catch up with him? Borealis is also the name of a new feature now playing at the Canadian Film Festival and opening next Friday in Toronto. It's a buddy pick, a road movie, and a new kind of look at the far edges of Manitoba. It's funny, surprising, and calmly beautiful. It's made by longtime collaborators, award-winning Winnipeg director Sean Garrity, and equally notable actor-writer Jonas Chernick. And I'm very pleased to have Sean in studio and Jonas by telephone to tell us more about Borealis. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
Hi, Jonas.
Hello.
So great to have you both here.
Thanks for having us.
So from Don Shabib's Going Down the Road to Bruce McDonald's trilogy, Roadkill, Highway 61, Hardcore Logo, there's a long history of Canadian road movies. So how does Borealis fit in this world? Let's start with you, Sean.
I'm not sure that the film was made consciously to fit within, a tradition of Canadian road movies. Although I will say that I think Canadians, being people who don't necessarily come forth emotionally in a very direct way with one another, kind of leads us to a dramatic device where you put characters together and trap them in a little box moving along the highway to kind of force out the emotional issues that are bubbling between them. I wonder if that might have something to do with the fact that so many Canadians go to this genre. I will also say that Jonas wrote a script where the road trip goes north-south as opposed to east-west. And I think that I can think of, I don't know another Canadian road movie that does that.
Roadkill goes up a bit.
Oh, no. Roadkill just follows the highway, the Trans-Canada, doesn't it? Didn't they go up to Sudbury or something?
I think that's Highway 60.
Highway 61, they go south.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
And then, of course, Hardcore Logo, they just go right across the Trans-Canada.
That's true.
I think a lot of Canadians know.
Certainly Going Down the Road.
Yes.
East to West.
Yeah. East to West as well. And I think a lot of Canadians know the big cities in the south where we all live. And a lot of Canadians have images in their heads of the Arctic because they're so, iconic. But the landscape in between is something that we don't explore a lot.
So, Jonas, tell us more about that.
It's funny, you calling it a road movie, it clearly is a road movie, but it was never intended to be a road movie. Highway 61 is actually the first film that I ever saw in a little theater in Winnipeg when I was 18. It was the first film I saw that made me realize, oh, you can actually make films in Canada. You can write films, and I can act in them, and I can make films about this country. So it was a really seminal movie for me, when Sean came up with the basic story for Borealis, which he made a short film out of and pitched me on the idea, it was the story and the characters that got us excited. It wasn't until much later that I think I realized, oh, this is a classic Canadian road movie. The fact that the story took place in a car over, several thousands of kilometers was kind of a side note. It was never something we set out to do. It wasn't something that was intentional. But I'm glad that it's now, falling into that canon and being included with those other movies, because Highway 61, Hardcore Logo, also one of my favorites.
So aside from the roads, you could almost call this movie Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Because it continues even more drastically.
That's right. Without the planes,
there is a plane. There is a plane.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Of course, there's a plane.
There's. I don't think we have a boat. I think we're missing. True. To get all the modes of transit, or horses, I guess.
What's it like shooting while you're covering huge distances in real life.
Oh, terrible. It's actually really terrible. You know, I mean, I think there are a number of things that traditionally make production go slower. You know, everyone's heard, you know, dealing with kids and dealing with animals and can slow you down. I would add cars and water are other two other things that just slow production right down.
And that's
right?
About 75% of the movie.
And this movie spent a lot of time in cars, right?
Yeah. And so a fair amount in water towards
And that water, it takes forever, right? Poor Jonas Chernik. ended up being dunked in freezing cold water in the middle of a Winnipeg autumn.
What time of year was this shot?
October we shot it, Jonas?
Yeah, we shot it in October of 2014, and it was very, very cold.
Very cold.
Than we anticipated. Gentlemen, I've been called in for my close-up. I have to thank this amazing interview.
Okay, great.
I'll leave it up to my buddy Sean to finish up.
Perfect. I thought he'd never leave.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jonas.
Okay, sorry about that. Bye.
Okay, so I will ask you some of the questions I was going to ask him. But I think his character, Jonah, is a true romantic, sort of a beautiful loser who things aren't going well, but he always has this hope that things are going to change for him. His luck's going to get better. There's good things right around the corner. Could you talk about the romantic nature of his and Aurora's characters?
You know, I think Jonah's character is a guy who never gives up hope for redemption. And so one of the things that we were interested in exploring in this film, I mean, in a way, most films are in some way about redemption. But particularly, you know, Jonas and I tend to explore, when we work together, characters that are really at the very, you know, hairy edge of redemptive possibility. Like, you look at this guy as a character and the things that he does in the movie and you think, wow, he's kind of a terrible guy. And yet, we enjoy trying to find within that the things that will help audiences get on board with his journey and believe that there can be some redemption for him. And I think one of the things, as you have astutely pointed out, in his case, is that he just never gives up. I mean, the world keeps trampling on him and things keep going wrong for him and he keeps making terrible choices and getting himself deeper and deeper in trouble. But he absolutely will not give up.
So this is not a spoiler, but I will say in the film, you do some shooting in Churchill, Manitoba. Mm-hmm. And this is a place where I understand there are polar bears up there.
Yeah, we saw a bunch of bears when we were up there.
What, did they ever cause any trouble?
They did eat one crew member, but he was replaceable. And so, I mean, Churchill, Manitoba is a very magical place. A city that I think the English built very quickly before the onset of winter, only to discover that it's in the middle of a migration path for thousands of polar bears who come through every autumn and every spring.
It's on the banks of the Hudson's Bay, right?
That's right. And so the bears come to the shore to wait for the ice floes, and then they hop on their ice floes and go off and, you know, fill their bellies full of fish all winter, and then come back.
And it's also inaccessible by car.
It is inaccessible by – it's a fly-in community or train community.
Is there like muskeg, or can they not build a road?
Yeah, it's also just, I think, in terms of settlements, like the north of so much of Canada, you know, the nearest town of any kind of size is like 1,000 kilometers to the south or something. And so I think the infrastructure costs of maintaining a road just don't make sense. And so, you know, it's funny, while we were shooting in Churchill, we were doing a shot along a road and the cinematographer and I realized that our camera needed to be lower than was possible out of the back of the van that we had rented. And so we said, for example, like that truck right there that lady's driving. We went up to this lady and we said, excuse me, you know, could we borrow your truck while you're shopping at this store? And her response was, yeah, sure. She just gave us the keys. And partly, I think, because – like, where are you going to go? You're trapped in this town and you can't drive out of it. Like, I don't think there must be zero car theft in Churchill because, I mean,
how many people live in Churchill?
I think it's under 1,000.
Yeah, if someone has your car, you'd learn it pretty fast.
It's at Ben's place.
But at the same time as the safety of Churchill, I understand there are hidden gambling dens or secret card games all across rural Manitoba. Someone told me this, and in the north as well. What sort of research did you do when you recreate places like that, or was it purely out of your imagination?
We did a little bit of research, but I mean, I grew up in rural Manitoba.
Oh, really? Where?
Yeah, I grew up, I actually grew up a couple of years in Churchill. And then I was in a little town outside of a place called Brandon. The town itself is called Rivers. It's actually not even in Rivers. It was outside of Rivers. But so there was a lot of question of addressing, I think, the reality of increasingly, I mean, as you go north, the quality of life deteriorates in Manitoba and you get increasingly Aboriginal populations the further north you go. And so we were very conscious of reflecting that in the movie, that really there is a real cultural change that happens when you drive north. I'm sure it's not just Manitoba. I'm sure it's all over Canada.
For sure.
Right? Whereas you drive east to west, like you drive Winnipeg to Regina to Calgary, you know, the cities are different shapes. That's about all. Otherwise, it's kind of the same, you know. But there is a real, like you really feel like you're going into a different world when you go north. And that was important dramatically for us because of the journey that these characters are on and the things that they're sort of going to discover along the way.
So you've been compared to, this is true, to Mike Leigh in that the films you make often change while you're doing. You have the idea, you have the actors, but you allow them some breath to change it as you go along. Was this one like that at all? Or
this one was less so. I mean, I do a lot of that. And I have a couple of films that have been completely improvised. And then I have a couple of films where we developed the script through improvisation. And then I do use improvisation a lot on set to shake scenes up and open them up and sort of make them more authentic. This one, though, is really because it's a road movie and because in many senses it's a film about an ending. You know, like the ending of the film really it sort of makes everything before it kind of makes sense. So we were much more controlled about the things that would happen in the scenes and how they would happen. Now, within that, within a certain beat, a dramatic beat, let's say, within a scene, my actors had complete freedom to sort of throw any dialogue they wanted at it. And I actually hire a lot of actors who have that kind of experience. Kevin Pollak, notably, just a great improviser. I'm sure that guy could come up with stuff that would be way funnier than anything we could write. And so to have him on set and to be able to just sort of say to him, hey, man, you know, this is what's written, but anything that comes out of your mouth, I'm sure would go straight into the movie. So and he was very generous with that, as you know, and as is Jonas, as a lot of the other supporting cast, Toronto actors and Winnipeg actors that we work with as well, people that we're familiar with who just have really great improv chops that they kind of brought to set.
And finally, if you could talk about, she's not here, but Joey King, who plays the daughter in this father-daughter buddy
yes.
story.
Buddy story.
Sort of like Paper Moon, in a way.
It is. That's interesting. That's an interesting comparison. That's one of the movies that we watched before, as we were writing the script.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we watched a bunch of kind of father-daughter movies, father-daughter road trip movies specifically, and that's obviously a seminal one. But Joey King was an absolute find. You know, when you finance a film in Canada, you have to convince the people who are going to give you money that you're going to get a big American movie star in your movie. And it rarely ever happens, but you have to convince them that it will. Otherwise, they won't give you money. And so in our case, we were pretty sure we were going to be able to get Kevin Pollak. And for the girl, we actually had another actor in mind who was a big famous American actor as well. And she pulled out at the last minute because her grandmother passed away she was in a TV show that she also had to sort of take a break from. And we thought, oh my God, we're going to lose our funding because we promised them two movie stars and now we've only got one movie star. And just on a lark, we went to Joey King, hoping that she would respond to the material. But meanwhile, we were actually working on our plan B because we were sure she would say no. And we were running out of time. But she read the script and she had some time in her schedule and she loved it and her mom loved it and her agent loved it. And she said, okay, I'll do it. And right until she actually arrived in Winnipeg, we secretly thought she must be using this to leverage another gig. Like, there's no way she's going to come up to Winnipeg for the amount of money that we're able to pay her and do this film. But ultimately she said she was moved by Jonas's script. So she came up and she did it. We were super lucky.
And it was a moving film.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for talking with me, Sean.
Thanks.
Borealis, a new film by Winnipeg director Sean Garrity and writer-actor Jonas Chernick, is now playing at the Canadian Film Festival and opens in Toronto next Friday. This is Daniel Garber, the movies for CIUT 89.5 FM and CulturalMining.com.